With the new year, we lay out new calendars, get used to writing 2014 on checks and documents, and get used to some changes in laws. Plenty of those we'll notice, some we won't. California's new laws include regulations on guns, fracking, driver's licenses for immigrants, and paparazzi. Oregon's list is not quite as long and perhaps a bit less colorful, but if you drive and use a cell phone or drive and smoke, you could get an unwelcome surprise under the laws that are in existence as of the first of the year. State Representative Peter Buckley represents District Number 5 in the Oregon Legislature in the Oregon House. He is from Ashland and our guest here on the Jefferson Exchange today. Peter Buckley, welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me, Jeff. I think it's great that you're having me on talking about new laws and the rest of the program is Vent Day.
Yeah, and funny, we're not venting on those particular laws, but there's a chance for people, obviously, to call during this segment. Anything in particular that, I mean, we just talked about the newer fines for using a cell phone, not a hands-free cell phone, while driving. Is that among the ones that you think people will be most aware of?
Yeah, I think they will. And it's been brought up so often, the concerns people have about texting and driving and just the horrific accidents that have been caused by people texting and driving. I think that the temptation to text and drive is so great, given how people communicate now. And they will notice that this is going to go into effect and that it will be the law in Oregon to put a stop to that practice because of the danger involved.
So the standard fine, as I understand it, was $50, now is $160, but judges can go as high as $500?
Correct. It's particularly egregious, in putting someone in danger, the judge will have that discretion.
You know, I've often wondered about the fact that this comes with a stick and no particular carrot. I mean, in some cases, when you put a new law into effect, you try to encourage people to behave well through other means. I mean, was there any discussion among legislators? Granted, Oregon is not a rich state. I don't know which state is at this point, but was there any discussion of providing Bluetooth headsets for people or something so that they could use their phones hands-free in cars?
There really wasn't. I mean, I think the conversation around that was that the technology is advancing quickly. Hopefully the cost for the hands-free sets are coming down to a rate where that won't be a factor. I think the kind of prevailing thought was if people can afford an iPhone, they could probably afford a hands-free device as well.
True. Yeah, if you can spend that much money on the iPhone, you probably can't afford the other part of that. With the driving and behavior in the car, there's also the issue of smoking in a vehicle. Now, where are there new restrictions here?
It basically says that you can't smoke if you have children in the car. I mean, it was pretty common sense as far as I was concerned. I don't know about you. I grew up with two parents who smoked. My dad was a cigar smoker.
Ditto.
My mom was a cigarette smoker. And they smoked constantly with the kids in the car. And it was just something that people did. It's definitely out of style now for people to do that, but it still does go on. And the evidence behind secondhand smoke and the illnesses that are caused, including cancer, is so clear now that this was an issue brought up by a legislator with a particular concern about cancer. And she was able to convince us that this was a practical step in order to get the word out even with greater clarity that smoking with kids in the car is endangering their health.
And I noticed that this is listed as a secondary offense, which is also what we talked about, I think, when the first of the fines for using cell phones while driving
Correct.
Went into effect. So what does that mean, a secondary offense?
It means that if you're stopped for doing something else, I mean, you're speeding or you ran a stop sign, that's the primary offense that you're stopped for. And if the police officer notices that you have a lit cigarette and you have children in the car, then you will be cited for that as well. If the police officer has some sort of indication that you had been texting while you ran that stop sign, that would be the secondary offense you'd be cited for.
Is it still a secondary offense then for the cell phone violations?
I believe so.
Interesting. So you won't get stopped just for that.
If someone sees you, mm-hmm. if you are, let me go back on that a little bit. You will be cited for it if it is the secondary offense. If you're stopped for a stop, you know, running the stop sign, you're still cited for the text thing. But I believe an officer can, if they see you texting while driving, can stop you for that as well.
If you've been, if your driving has been erratic, can an officer ask to see, once they pulled you over, to see whether you actually have been texting?
You know, that's a really good question. I do not know the answer to that. That's similar to the laws we have about search and seizure, so I'm not quite clear on it.
All right, so we're talking about cigarettes in vehicles, cell phones in vehicles, cigarettes in general, and I see the taxes climbed another 13 cents to $1.31 a pack. Has there been a fair amount of pressure for Oregon to keep up with some of the, well, particularly Washington, which is now up to like more than $3 a pack on taxes?
Yeah, there is a lot of the health impact and the costs of the health impact of tobacco are huge for the state. I mean, tobacco use is one of the primary cost drivers of the health system, and there's a lot of pressure to increase the taxes on cigarettes for that reason, to help pay for the impact of the health costs involved. But also, it's very clear that when you do increase the taxes, youth smoking decreases. The use of tobacco products by people under the age of 18 decreases significantly, which is in all of our best interests. Unfortunately, the tobacco lobby is very strong. They were very clear that if we raised the tobacco taxes higher than they felt that they could deal with, they would take it to the ballot. And if you recall, several years back, we attempted to raise tobacco taxes in order to pay for children's health care, and that was defeated at the ballot by Oregon voters after a $12 million campaign by the tobacco companies.
We're talking about new laws effective January 1st in the state of Oregon with State Representative Peter Buckley from Ashland. You can join this at 800-838-3760, anywhere you can hear us, in the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, by email jx@jeffnet.org. Has there been much or any legislation thus far on e-cigarettes? I noticed that these finally seem to have gotten the attention of the mainstream media.
There was a good deal of discussion about it, and I believe, I don't know if anything's going to come forward in this session coming up in February, but I believe there will be proposals in 2015.
All right. But, I mean, at this point, is there something of a hole there? Because I know, talking to store clerks, they say that they're not going to sell e-cigarettes to minors, but are they actually covered by law?
I'm sorry, Jeff, I missed that one.
The electronic cigarettes, is there any specific ban on selling those to minors?
They're not that I'm aware of. Nope.
Huh, okay, so a bit of a hole there at the moment. Let's see, what else is on this list here?
We also have the tanning bed legislation in the past when, you know, involved with cancer. The cancer research specialist at Oregon Health Science University brought forward this bill that basically, again, the data is showing very clearly that skin cancer, particularly amongst young women, has increased dramatically through the use of tanning beds. So we did pass legislation that restricts access to tanning beds for people under the age of 18 unless they do have a doctor's permission, understanding that they're going to be using the tanning beds. And that was a little bit controversial, but again, after looking at the data on it, it would seem to be definitely the way to go to try to decrease the numbers of skin cancer cases. And interestingly enough, Southern Oregon in particular has seen a sharp increase in skin cancer, particularly amongst women.
But is that attributable to tanning booths and tanning beds, or just because Southern Oregon's sunny most of the time?
I believe that amongst younger women, the tie to tanning salons was quite direct.
All right, let's take another call here. Here's Bill and Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with State Representative Peter Buckley. Bill, go ahead.
Yeah, I was wondering, is there any science? The science now is showing that I think that hands-free cell phone operation doesn't really solve the problem because you're still distracted. It turns out, I think the science of evolution shows that anytime your ears are involved, your eyes actually shut down because of the way our evolution system is working.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering if there's a comment on that, is this really solving the problem or is it just a Band-Aid?
All right. Thanks for that, Bill. Appreciate it. Peter Buckley, how much discussion was there in the legislature about cell phone use overall? I mean, not just hands-free.
There's a tremendous amount of discussion, and Bill makes a great point on it. And he's correct that the data shows there is not a significant change. I think it's the popular perception that having the cell phone in your hand is one less hand on the driver's on the steering wheel, but the data does show that distracted driving from all sources is a concern. Sleep deprivation, fatigue driving actually is a tremendous concern in terms of traffic fatalities. So there was a great deal of discussion, but I think there simply wasn't the political will to say you can't talk at all on your phone because it becomes so much of people's lives. And so this was seen as a step, at least, to deal with one part of the problem. But distracted driving overall, whether it be by having a headset on and talking on the phone, or having your music cranked up too loud, or and you know, I'm sure Jeff, you experienced, you just have, you know, you have other people in the car that that can distract you. That those are definitely issues you have to contend with. However, this seemed to be a step that we could make.
All right. Other things that are in new laws: post-traumatic stress disorder now added to the list of conditions that qualify for the Oregon Medical Marijuana Program. Any idea how many more people might end up in the OMMP because of this?
You know, it is so far very few. I mean, the initial data from that is that a handful of vets have applied for a card with specifically requesting that thus far. So there hasn't been definitely hasn't been a rush to the door on it. We're still early in the year. But there was some concern that there would be a huge number. But again, I think Oregonians, when we approve the medical marijuana program, we want people to have access to medical marijuana if it can help them with what they're going through and make their lives better. And I strongly supported this. And there just has not been a huge rush thus far.
All right, so medical marijuana on the books. There's moves in the works to get dispensaries opened up, partly through your efforts. Any discussion you think that'll occur in the Oregon legislature in the session starting for real on February 3rd about legalizing marijuana? Will that be referred by the legislature or likely to get to the ballot by initiative?
Well, both paths are being followed right now. The most traction on the ballot initiative front so far is a group called New Approach Oregon, which is taking lessons learned from Washington and Colorado's efforts in trying to put forward a proposal that they believe can pass in Oregon and set up a functional system in Oregon. Senator Floyd Prezansky from Eugene has also put forth the idea that the legislature might refer to the voters a simple legalization measure that would simply say it's the decision of the citizens of Oregon to legalize marijuana, and it's the legislature's responsibility within the 2015 session to develop what the system is, again, learning from Washington, Colorado. So those are the two kind of tracks are being pursued. I would say that Senator Prezansky's approach does have a chance in the February session. It's pretty simple to simply say, you know, the issue is legalization first, and once we decide to legalize it, then we will have a six-month process of developing the program for it. But if that does not go through, then I think the New Approach Oregon folks are poised to get their initiative on the ballot.
Peter Buckley, one of the other issues that I'm sure concerns members of our audience is the idea that timber companies are able to sue activists now who try to interfere with logging activity on state forests. That is specifically state forests, not private or federal land?
Correct. I mean, Oregon, you know, we have control over state forests. That's what we have control over. Some of these, I think the wording of the bill was aimed at probably the most, practices that might endanger either forest workers or the protesters themselves. There was quite a contentious discussion on free speech issues, and that it's the same discussion we have virtually every free speech issue, is where does your right to express end if it impacts somebody else's ability to function in a legitimate way. There's that tension there, and these bills do address that, whether it's the right balance or not. I can't say. We'll find out going forward whether we struck the right balance or not.
All right, so legislative day is January 15th through 17th, I see, and then the session starts for real on February 3rd?
Correct. And a couple other things real quick, Jeff. The increase in the minimum wage that is part of our law has happened on January 1st, and I think that's extremely important.
$9.10 an hour now.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Tuition equity, which was very controversial for many years. We finally were able to get that passed so that the graduates from Oregon high schools, whether their parents are documented or not, will still have access to in-state tuition at Oregon universities. And again, the university system predicted there'd be maybe 200 or 300 students who use that, and that's pretty much what's happened. So again, that doesn't impact a huge number of people, but for those 200 to 300 students, it is a life-changing option for them to have.
State Representative Peter Buckley, District 5, Ashland, thank you so much for joining us once again on the Jefferson Exchange.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.